Hello and welcome to Debate at GO8, the podcast series canvassing issues affecting the Group of Eight universities and, by extension, Australia's economy and our society. The Group of Eight comprises Australia's leading research-intensive universities: the University of Melbourne, Sydney, Queensland, Western Australia, Adelaide, the Australian National University, Monash University, and UNSW Sydney. As a leader, the GO8 strives to influence the development and delivery of long-term sustainable national higher education and research policy. It also develops elite international alliances and research partnerships. Its chief executive is Vicky Thompson, and she's here today to discuss an issue that's been attracting a great deal of media attention over recent months, following allegations of foreign interference at our universities. Well, Vicky Thompson, let's start by establishing a few ground rules with regards to this issue. What's the difference between foreign interference and foreign influence in our universities?
So essentially, foreign interference is something that's secret, it's coercive, it's deceptive, it runs contrary to our national interest. Foreign influence is very open and very transparent. So by way of example, foreign interference would be when there's pressure applied to an academic, for example, not to publish certain research which a state actor might think is contrary to their national belief or their national values. Foreign influence, which is really something that is mutually beneficial to both parties, would be, for example, the new Colombo plan, where, you know, the Australian government program, we send out, when we could, tens of thousands of students into the Asian region. And, we're wanting to we want them to be influenced in a way in terms of that cultural experience and business experience and bring that back. And a really good example in South Australia, for example, is the former Singaporean Prime Minister now, was actually a graduate of the University of Adelaide. So he was a great advocate for us in the region. That's a very good example where the university experience has actually influenced some of his thinking and his views and trade relations, et cetera, for the state of South Australia.
So that engenders ongoing trade deals, business relationships,
potentially,
et cetera.
Potentially. Yeah. I mean, really the simplest way to look at it is secret, open, mutually beneficial, not mutually beneficial, I think is the best way to describe it.
Well, a joint parliamentary committee has looked into the issue. What are some of the inquiries, key concerns? Why have they delved into this in a much more emphatic way?
So this is the Parliamentary Joint Committee on Security and Intelligence, and it is one of the more, probably the most powerful committee in the federal parliament, and it has, it's a bipartisan committee. So I think that's important to note. These concerns are held by all levels of government and from both sides of the political spectrum. This particular inquiry that they're in the process of undertaking, and in fact just about wrapping up, and we're eagerly awaiting their recommendations from them, is really looking at our awareness as a university sector of issues around foreign interference, our capacity to manage those issues of foreign interference, whether we know the difference between foreign interference and foreign influence. There's a bit of a debate. We would assert that we do, and there are some that think that we don't. And importantly, where there are areas where we can improve our own practices in our own universities. So in many ways, the genesis of the inquiry was probably not where we wanted to start. It was very much, not that the government or the committee would say it like this, but I'm happy to, what is China doing on your campuses? What is the impact of having so many Chinese students? What about your relationships with China? And I think it's moved a long way from there. And in fact, the head of that committee is Senator James Patterson, a Victorian senator. And he has been on the record as saying that actually, universities in the main are doing the right thing. And it's how do we actually ensure that we're all doing the right thing and we all help each other in that process for the national interest.
So what are some of the key findings that you expect to hear in the weeks ahead?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't preempt what their recommendations will be, but I suspect that they will look at some of the issues on campus related to our relationship with China, around the Confucius Institutes. Mm-hmm. And these are institutes which basically are language and cultural institutes, a very good example of foreign influence. But there is some inference, if you like, that that has merged into the foreign interference space. We would reject that as universities, but the government and this committee may have a different view. I think they'll also look at some of the talent programs. So universities, you know, we undertake a lot of research in our universities, and that's something that often people don't understand. You know, kids go to university, they get a degree and they leave. But there's a whole lot of other stuff that happens at our universities, and in particular research. And a lot of that research happens at the Group of Eight, the eight universities that I represent. And in fact, 70% of all university-based research is in eight universities, and we've got 39 public universities in Australia. So the heavy lifting is in our area. What that means is we have very deep and long partnerships with international partners, including, in this case, we're talking about now China. We also have talent programs. So we have researchers from all over the world that we recruit, that other countries recruit. We do joint research. There is a program called the 1,000 Talents Program, and there has been some concern raised by a couple of think tanks and by the Australian government about the transparency. And that's the important point, because ASIO have told us there's actually, in and of themselves, nothing wrong with it as long as it's transparent. And so that goes back to your first question about influence. As long as it's transparent and we know what it's about, it's okay.
Well, allegations of foreign interference in our universities have prompted our national parliament to implement some legislative changes. Can you outline those changes and why they have been legislated in the first place?
So the big ticket item has been the Foreign Relations Act. And this is not just a university-specific piece of legislation. It's actually to cover state governments, local governments, and public entities such as Australian universities. And essentially, from the government's perspective, this was to really get a line of sight on the partnerships that state and local and territory governments, I should say, and also universities have with international partners, whomever they may be. For our universities, and let me go back, I think the most sort of obvious one has been just very recently the foreign minister has shut down the Victorian state government's relationship with the Chinese government for their Belt and Road Initiative, mm-hmm. which is a trading sort of initiative. We haven't yet had any feedback from the government, because we're in the process of putting forward all of our arrangements. And let me tell you, for our universities, that is potentially tens of thousands, because we have had some challenges in the definition of what an arrangement is. So I'll give you an example. It can be from, you know, a student internship program with New Zealand or with France, right through to in between an MOU, and we all know, you know, MOUs that we sign with various government agencies, right through to quite deep research partnerships that we would have. Now, the government wants to know all of them, and then they will make a decision as to whether or not they are in the national interest or not in the national interest. So this is quite a big exercise. It is about transparency. We do have some concerns about what this means, because I think, and I have said this previously, this is a country agnostic piece of legislation, but do they really want us not, do they really need to know that we've got a relationship with New Zealand where 15 students are on a student exchange, or do they really want to know what the partnership is with a particular country? And we think it's at that latter end. Notwithstanding that, the bill went through and we will be compliant with it, and we have, I think, until sort of, you know, the end of June to comply with that. So we'll get some sense then of really where the government has its concerns. But there's a whole raft of other legislation which is already in existence, and I think that is also important to understand. This foreign interference security space is not something that universities have just got involved with. You know, we've got the Defence Trade Controls Act, which is around our Defence Act. We've got the Autonomous Sanctions Act. And of course, we've got the University Foreign Interference Guidelines. So I'm very happy to talk to you a bit more about that later as we move through it. But they have really been a watershed moment for universities in this space.
Now, you say the universities have been aware of these issues for quite some time, but this level of government oversight, does it beg the question that maybe universities have been a bit naive in the way in which they've dealt with the issue of foreign interference over the last few years?
So I think what I'd say to that, Ron, is first of all some context. Our security agencies tell us, and not just the universities, but and they've said this publicly, that we have an unprecedented level of foreign espionage at the moment. You know, and we have critical infrastructure and assets which are vulnerable, whether mm-hmm. that's our energy assets. And in my case, you know, what transpires on university campuses.
So you're talking about cyber hacking?
Oh, well, it goes further than that. But yes, cyber hacking is the one that people kind of, you know, mm-hmm. resonate with. But there's all sorts of different things that happen from that sort of coercive behaviour that we talked about in an interference way as opposed to an influence way through to cyber hacking and other things. So what we have is an unprecedented level of foreign espionage occurring. We have a situation at universities where we've always been very alert to security issues around the sensitive research that we do undertake. And I've used the term before around putting tall fences around small places with our research. So that is not new. What is new is the scale that we are told is currently underway from foreign actors trying to influence and interfere in the machinations of our universities. So I certainly wouldn't characterise us as being naive because we've been undertaking this research for decades. It's the external environment which has changed. And the other really important thing that's changed is we now have an open dialogue with our security agencies. So what used to happen was they would tell us there is a problem. We can't tell you what the problem is. So how can we address a problem if we don't know what the problem is? What we have now is a much more open dialogue with the likes of ASIO, who will go to our universities on very specific cases and work with them, not just in identifying the problem, but helping them to either mitigate against the problem so it doesn't happen or to resolve it.
So this is all a question of balance, ultimately. You were saying before that the government wants to know a lot more detail about relationships with foreign entities, et cetera, at our universities, and that requires a lot of detailed information that has to be passed on. How do you get that balance right without creating arrangements that stultify research, you know, that you know, effectively throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak.
Yeah, and that's the challenge, right? You have to get that balance right because research is so important to us as a nation. There is nothing that we do in our daily lives that hasn't been underpinned by research from a university. And if it's in Australia, invariably it's going to be from one of our eight universities. And research is a global enterprise. We're a great nation, but we can't do it all ourselves. Our very, you know, big partners are the EU, the US and China, but a raft of other countries. And so I think, you know, striking that balance is the important thing and ensuring that we are transparent and we do have that level of transparency, but we don't have over-regulation. And look, I think we are slowly getting there and there is a very positive dialogue between the government and our universities in that space. But, you know, there has been a fear factor, and that is fair to say, I think, from the university side. It's like, you know, more regulation from government. What is this about? And then government takes it as, what don't you want regulation? Is there something mm-hmm. hiding? So there's a little bit of that.
But there's an element of fear in the community more generally as well, isn't there? Because when you think, you know, Mike Burgess, the head of ASIO, was recently quoted as saying that espionage and foreign interference mm-hmm. will supplant terrorism as Australia's principal security concern. Doesn't that mean that Australians, you know, should be fearful of foreign interference in our universities? And how do you deal with that?
No, I don't think we should be fearful of foreign interference in our universities because I think that we are managing it exceptionally well. And the we is the government and the university sector. And in fact, I think that is one of the worrying issues, which is out of our control, is the sort of the geopolitical context that is currently around us is casting doubt on very long-term relationships that we've had. And in our case, with China, and let's just call the spade, we are ostensibly talking about the relationship with China. In the university's case, you know, we've had relationships with China for over 50 years. In the Australian historical context, we've had a relationship with China from the gold rush days. Mm. You know, they're in our region. They're an important nation for us. And so, unfortunately, at the moment, the diplomatic relationship, which is out of our hands, is very challenging between the Australian government and the Chinese government. That has a knock-on effect. We need to ensure that we can preserve the relationship at that people-to-people level. And can I say, that is where I think our universities are the nation's greatest diplomatic asset. You know, that soft diplomacy of students who come here and want to study here and want to learn, you know, our values and our way of life. Well, they take that back. You know, any student from any country, you take that back to your country. You cannot not be influenced by that. So surely that's a good thing to keep educating and keep doing what we're doing at that level to kind of help that broader sort of issue that the government is having at that diplomatic level.
I suppose one of the things that would be of concern to government and also to the population more generally is that the Chinese Communist government now sees many civil applications of research potentially having also military applications too. And that then prompts people to really zero in on the research programs that are being completed involving Chinese partners. How do you deal with that issue? I mean, it just ramps things up a bit more, doesn't it?
Well, this is dual use technology that you know you often hear about in the news and et cetera, and it is probably the hardest issue, nut to crack, if you like, in terms of how we deal with that. And that is something that we are working very closely with Prime Minister and Cabinet, as it turns out, on identifying dual use technology. And I'll give you an example of where, you know, a very simple piece of technology, facial recognition, which we all use. It's used in airports for screening. It's used on our phones to open up our apps. It's in our society. It's a good thing. But it's also being used in China to monitor ethnic minorities. That is not a good thing. Mm. It's the same piece of technology, just slightly tweaked. And the tweaking actually came out of the University of Queensland, which is one of our eight universities. Our researchers and our research teams did not start that research thinking that's what that will be used for. So the challenge is a piece of research starts at one end. How do you guard against it being used for nefarious purposes at the other end? Some are more obvious. And in those areas, we only do research with like-minded, values-aligned countries.
And is this also where the relationship with ASIO and other federal authorities kicks in as well, where you get advice about things that you should be concerned about?
Yeah, so we've got the Defence Trade Controls Act, because most of this is in the defence space. And we have, you know, basically, it's my simplest form, a hotline that, you know, our researchers can ring. But we can bring in the Department of Defence, who are ordinarily the natural partners in that research in any event. I mean, I think it needs to be really clearly understood. We are not doing sensitive defence research with non-aligned countries. That is not happening. The tricky area is this dual-use technology, which is used for different purposes than what it may have started out as. All of our defence research is either undertaken by our own Australian researchers with nobody, or with our Five Eyes countries or like-minded countries where you need high-level security clearance to even know what that is. So the community can be very, very confident that in areas of sensitive defence-related research, we are yet to see a significant breach because we've put the tall fences around those small places.
Are the Five Eyes partners experiencing the same sort of foreign interference issues?
Absolutely.
And so we're not alone in this.
This is not an Australian problem, and this is not a university problem. This is a global problem. And those who are involved in this area in the policy space will say that, you know, this is the Cold War, but with a technological bent. That's where we are now. We're more sophisticated in terms of that sort of technology race. And in fact, it's not an Australian problem, and it's not a university problem. It's a global problem. And one of the wonderful things that we've done here in Australia, which we should be very proud of, is the establishment of the University Foreign Interference Task Force. So this is government and universities coming to the table and developing a set of guidelines which we all agree on. So we don't have the overreach that we've talked about previously, but the government has the comfort that they can sort of see in. And we have a set of guidelines that we've agreed on that we're now working to. That set of guidelines is now the template in the US and in the UK, and now soon to be in Canada, actually. And, you know, I personally have travelled to those countries and worked with my university counterparts, with the government agencies, the equivalent government agencies in those countries, to look at how we actually develop those guidelines.
So Australia is creating a bit of a roadmap for this into the future.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, you've asked me now on a couple of occasions, should the community be concerned? It's those things that we are doing which should allay any fears that we are naively venturing into research that we shouldn't be undertaking, or we're handing it over to non-values aligned countries. We're not doing that.
How do you deal with the relationship with the Australian government? I mean, we've just seen what's happened with the budget. The university's got nothing. I mean, you guys are on the nose as far as the Morrison government is concerned, so it appears to be. And this issue comes into play. How are you going to turn that boat around and create a better relationship with government on this and so many other issues?
Look, that is certainly a challenge. And as it relates to the recent federal budget, you know, my expectations were low and my expectations were met, unfortunately. Look, I think the way to keep the relationship okay with government is to keep the lines of communication open and to demonstrate that we are taking this issue seriously, and we are. And look, I think there's a political context and there's a policy context. And certainly in our dealings with, you know, the Department of Home Affairs and with ASIO and the Chief Scientist and the Department of Defence, it's a very good, strong relationship. Then you've got the sort of political overlay, which is slightly different at this point in time. And so it's a work in progress, I think, working with government on that, on the politics. But look, you know, as universities and as huge inputs into the economy, and can I say, just sort of separating out for a moment the issues around foreign interference, there is nothing in the government's federal budget that doesn't have needs universities to make it happen. Mm. And that is true with our research that we're talking about here today. And so I think part of it is just, you know, it's partly why we're doing these podcasts, right? It's about communicating that we are part of the narrative, that we are a really essential part of government policy. And I think that maybe we haven't done that well enough.
So you need to explain to government more that every element of or most elements of research have a powerful impact on the community more generally. They impact on their daily lives. And it's not just about educating students at university, it's the research work, particularly by the GO8 universities, that has a fundamental impact on daily life.
Yeah, and I don't think we've done that well enough, and that's on us. You know, we just get on and do the work and just assume that people understand what we do. And this is the point. You know, there may be people listening going, well, what are universities talking about foreign interference for? You know, because we do this research that underpins our economy, our defence industries, our high-tech manufacturing, our agricultural industries, et cetera. And we're at the forefront with that research, which means that other nations want it. And we have to protect that. And that's what we're in the business of doing in a way that is in our national interest and, you know, is mutually beneficial to our research partners. And that's a really important point.
Vicky Thompson, we'll have to leave it there.
Thanks, Ron.
This interview has been the first in an ongoing series entitled Debate at GO8. If you'd like more information on the ideas discussed in this episode or other related topics, visit our website at go8.edu.au. We look forward to your company next time. Bye for now.